This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily. Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribe, and follow the podcast. Of course, a YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there. And of course, YouTube is where you can watch all our shows live now, 6A to 6P, Monday through Friday. Boy, that was an ugly Phillies weekend as they go to St. Louis and they get shut out on Friday. And they come back on Saturday with the help of 5 double plays. They win that game with Sanchez on the mound. But the offense really didn't do much. Castellanos had a big hit early, but kind of a blah offensive game. Stott had a nice double in the corner. And then yesterday, shut out again. I mean, this was listless offensive baseball for the Phillies against a Cardinals team that's not very good. I mean, that's the part of this weekend that really makes you wonder what we're watching here is that Cardinals team stinks. That's not a good baseball team. Their pitching staff is not very good. I mean, they're not throwing hard throwers out there. They're not throwing guys that have great stuff. I mean, those are guys you should be able to hit. And as I look at this Phillies season in totality, I was excited last week because I thought the Phillies had shown to be a little bit different. But now I wonder if I was fooled a little bit. I mean, this week they had the 5th worst chase rate in baseball. Did they catch the Dodgers at the perfect time coming off their 8-0 start and then play great baseball since? The early season 5-1 before they saw the Dodgers, you know, that was against the Rockies, who are one of the worst teams of baseball, and the Nationals, who not a very good baseball team, and they needed extra innings to beat the Nationals on opening day. The Phillies look very blah right now. They look like the weather outside here as I sit here on Market Street. They look blah, cloudy, not a very good baseball team right now. And it's got a long way to go, and they could turn this around. Homestand coming up, Giants, way better than people thought they'd be. And the Marlins, who actually have played sneaky, decent baseball so far. So I'm very excited to see how they play in this homestand before they go to see the Mets next week. But I wanted to go and kind of rank my concerns, you know, from what I'm most concerned about to, you know, the least of the concerns. But these are all concerns. My 5 concerns with the Phillies right now and how I'd rank those concerns as we move forward throughout this. All right, so let's go through them one by one. I'm going to start with my biggest concern right now and then work my way down towards things that are on my radar, but they're not as pressing right now today of the concerns as the first few. All right, let's start with number one, and it's not a question. It's Alec Boehm. I mean, today feels like a day that everyone wants to send Brandon Marsh to the minor leagues. I'll get to Marsh. But the bigger issue is Alec Boehm. For as bad as Brandon Marsh has been, Brandon Marsh has a, you know, and I'm reading some of these numbers and they seem remarkably bad, and they are. Well, Boehm's are worse. Like, Marsh has an OPS 100 points clear of Alec Boehm. At least when it comes to Marsh, he has been 71% below league average, not 104% below league average. Bottom line is Alec Boehm has been the Phillies' worst player so far this season by wins above replacement, by adjusted OPS, by OPS. He's been their worst player. Alec Bohm right now has one walk this season to 13 strikeouts. He has one extra base hit in 61 plate appearances. That was his double on opening day. Since opening day, Alec Bohm has been unplayable. I'm going to say that again. He has been unplayable. And yet the Phillies continue to roll him out there. He has grounded to three double plays all by himself this season. He has been one of the worst players in Major League Baseball so far this year. And this dates back to around the All-Star break last year. Alec Bohm just hasn't hit. He just hasn't hit for a very long time now. We're talking about, a well below average offensive performer with an on-base percentage under 300 for, I would say we're bordering on a year now. I think his April last year was remarkable. And then he kind of lived off of that for a long time. He had a tough May. He never really recovered. And, he drove in all those runs last April. It was like 40 runs or something like that in the month of April. After that, he really was a below average performer. And he's been a below average performer this year. I think this is weighing on him. I blame the Phillies almost as much as I blame him. He's to blame because he hasn't improved. But the Phillies are to blame because they took a fragile player and they made everyone know they weren't sure if they wanted him anymore. It's like a relationship. You have two people and one person, is pretty open that they might not want to be with that person anymore. There's going to be insecurity there, even if they're together. There's a real insecurity. And you have an insecure player in Alec Bohm, a flawed player who's now in his own head. And that's why, when people tell me back of the baseball card, sometimes there's extenuating circumstances that throw things off for a year or so. And I think we're in that situation with Alec Bohm right now. I'm seriously concerned he's not going to figure this out. The Phillies are going to need to upgrade third base. Does that mean more of an everyday Edmundo Sosa role? Could be. Does it mean a trade deadline acquisition? It certainly probably will have to be. I believe the Phillies are going to have to upgrade third base to be taken seriously as a World Series contender this year. I mean, I've never taken Bohm's bat seriously. I've always thought the idea of trying to win a World Series with him in the middle of the order is foolhardy. I thought it in 23, I said it. I thought it in 24, I said it. I'm saying it right now in 25. 22, at least, they didn't rely on him like that. He was more of a down the order bat, and they were better. That was because they had Rhys Hoskins. They had a better version of JT. JT had third or fourth in all the playoff games that year. He was a middle of the order bat for them. And they had obviously had Rhys Hoskins. That JT's no longer. He's declined off of that. And they still miss what they had in Rhys Hoskins' bat. And Alec Bohm's never replicated that. So he's my number one concern. Number two, as we go down the list a little bit here, is Brandon Marsh. Because I just don't think Brandon Marsh is a very good baseball player. I mean, I'm not as concerned he's in his own head. I'm not concerned about his psyche. I just don't think he's very good. He has an alarming strikeout rate. He always has had a very high strikeout. I'm going to his page right now. Just in particular, he's been in his career an average player, a 103 adjusted OPS, and I think you could get more out of him if you totally hide him totally from lefties and you just play him against righties. But his strikeout rate, let's pull this up right now. He's striking out this year 31% of the time. He struck out last year 32% of the time. He struck out in 2023 30% of the time. He struck out in 2022 34% of the time. He struck out in a cameo when he first got to the big leagues at 21, 35% of the time. He strikes out over 30% of the time, but he doesn't bring enough power to offset that. I mean, that strikeout rate is remarkably high. I'm going to go the leaders, batting over the last few years. What did I say? He came up at 21. Let's go 20. How many games is he playing? 21. Brandon Marsh played 70 games. I'm going to pull up 2021 to now, just strikeout rate. It's got to be one of the 10 to 15 highest in all of baseball. And you can't have that. You can't have that and not provide a lot of power. He walks enough. Then that's why he's got a higher OBP, OPS than Alec Bohm, because at least he'll get some walks in there. But I mean, the strikeout rate is enormous. So right now, since 2021, I'm looking at strikeout rates since 2021. Yeah. Since he got to the big leagues, Brandon Marsh has the sixth highest strikeout rate in all of baseball. The only guys worse are Joey Gallo, who's bounced around and is pretty much done being an everyday player now. Patrick Wisdom, who's fallen off as a guy that you can't play every day. I don't even know where he is. I might still be a Cub. Jose Siri, who's the Mets center fielder, strictly for his defense, but he can't hit. Nolan Gorman, who has never established himself as an everyday player. Franmil Reyes, who is bounced around out of a job and more of a pinch hitting type of guy. And Brandon Marsh. Those are the six worst in all of baseball. The only guy, I would say, in the top 10 who is currently a high-end player, but he's getting better at this, is Ellie De La Cruz. Everybody else, you know, falls off and is not able to play every day. That's who Brandon Marsh is. That's what Brandon Marsh has been since the day he got here. And by the way, Ellie is knocking down that K rate from 33 to 31. He's now under 30 right now. And if he continues to go that way, he'll be in the MVP mix. Marsh strikes out too much. He can't hit lefties. He's not a great defender. He runs fine, but not great. I don't see it. To me, he's a platoon bat, fourth outfielder. If you have a really, really strong team, you could have a platoon in center or left, and he'll be the strong side of it, and you bat him ninth. That's what he is. And right now, he's struggling with that. All right, he's my second.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Second biggest concern. My third biggest is still the bullpen. I suppose a little bit better over the weekend, but still not great for the Phillies bullpen. It's not a great bullpen. It's a thin bullpen. Alvarado's off to a really nice start, and he looks dominant. Strom has been better than I anticipated, and it looks like the velo's coming back, so I feel better about that. On the Tanner Banks thing, no. Romano had a good outing a couple days ago. We'll see. Velocity was back up. That's better than the alternative, but nah. I do think Kirkering has been a little bit more up and down than I anticipated. The walk rate is way too high, and the strikeout rate is not high enough. So he has been, I'm a little down on him compared to where I was a couple weeks ago. Joe Ross, no. Jose Ruiz, no. And Carlos Hernandez, no. I want no part of Ruiz, Ross, Hernandez, Romano, Banks, anywhere in with the game close. Kirkering has been shakier than I anticipated. Strom and Alvarado have been their two best. It's not a good bullpen right now. It's just not. I mean, it's just not a good bullpen. All right, so that's my third biggest concern. My fourth is Nola's velocity. So Aaron Nola gutted through on Friday. Wasn't bad, but also wasn't great. He's made three starts this year, 16 and a third innings pitched. He owns a 5.51 ERA. His expected ERA is 4.19, but his FIP is 5.51. Expected FIP 3.60. So you kind of add it all together. He's not pitched great. Certainly, he's probably pitched better than his ERA indicates when the homer rate comes back down. But his home runs are up. His strikeout rate slightly up from last year, but his walk rate is up. And it's on an upward trajectory here with his walk rate. And really, what's hitting me, and I've talked about this a lot over the past, you know, the last couple of years, his strikeout to walk ratios continue to get worse. And it's a downward slope. 2022, 8.10. 2023, 4.49. Last year, 3.94. This year, 3.40. It's moving towards a mid-rotation guy. That's what I see in his velocity. I think is the biggest reason why he's nibbling, because he knows he doesn't have the velocity right now. I think Aaron Nola looks more and more like a 3 or a 4 than he does a 1 or a 2. And you might have thought he was never a 1 or a 2, but he certainly was a 2. He certainly was a 2 at one point. 2022, 92.8 on the fastball velocity. 2023, 92.7. So basically hovered in the same spot, but a little dip. 2024 last year, 92.5. So the downward track. And now a huge dip to 91.4 this year. When the weather warms, will it go back up? Maybe. But he's hovered in the 92-93 range since 2017. And now he's below 91.5 for his average fastball velocity. That feels like a problem to me. And I hope it's coming back, but I'm not sure after all these innings it is. I'm not sure. And the last thing, and this, you could put this, kind of weave it into the Nola thing. You really can't weave it into Bohm or Marsh or the bullpen, but you could weave it into the Nola thing. I said this the first week of the year when we're at the game, the midday show live at the stadium for a game. You know, this is an old team. The only two teams in the history of baseball have made the playoffs with a roster as old as the Phillies. You could say it doesn't matter. You could say history doesn't matter. There's something to that. Now, there are more playoff spots available now, so there's certainly a better chance for teams to pull this off. But I watched JT, and he looks like a 34-year-old catcher. I watched Trey Turner, and the ball's not exploding off his bat anymore. He's had better at-bats. He has chased less. He has walked more. I mean, there's something. He's stolen some bases. There's some things about Turner. I think he's taken shortstop more seriously this year. But the bottom line is it's a 661 OPS, and the ball's not exploding off his bats for extra base hits. He has two doubles and a homer, three extra base hits in 56 plate appearances. It's not great. Max Kepler, 32, looks like it. Nick Castellanos is 33. You're getting the best out of him right now. It's an older team. They're older at catcher. They're older at short. They're older in left. They're older in right. And then they have a DH and a first baseman that are older. I mean, this is what older teams look like. And then with Zach Wheeler, who hasn't pitched his best so far, he's 35. I don't think he's going to be anything but very, very good. But could we have a dip from top two pitcher in baseball to a very good top 15 pitcher? We could. You know, Aaron Nola, a lot of innings on those arms, on that arm. You wonder about that stuff. Romano, 32. Strom, 33. Banks, 33. Ross, 32. Alvarado, 30. This is an old baseball team. And sometimes old teams get old. And it happened with the 2012 Phillies, and I hope we're not there, but this is all on my mind. It's all on my radar. And these are my concerns. All right, number one's Alec Bohm. Number two is Brandon Marsh. Number three is the bullpen. Number four is Aaron Nola's velocity. And number five is just their overall age. And certainly, it impacts things. A little bat speed goes. A little, you know, of the power off the bat by Trey Turner, it goes. It's a big week this week. The Giants are coming in red hot. Jung Hoo Lee is one of the best players in baseball that no one knows about. He could have a monster series here in Philadelphia. He just killed the Yankees all weekend. Reminds me of Johnny Damon back in his day with his swing and his power profile and his game profile. Really good player. Chapman's a good player at third. Adamas. You know, the Giants have a little energy and edge to them right now. They're going to come in here trying to win some games. And then the Marlins, so I'm telling you, they're not as bad as they've been in years past. You may not know five players on the roster, but right now, Miami comes in at 8-7. They're one game behind the Phillies right now. I don't think they're a terrible baseball team, and they'll test the Phillies this weekend after playing Arizona during the week. So what we have here is a week where the Phillies better wake up. Otherwise, everyone's going to wake up and say, uh-oh. What's going on here? Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Of course, a YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there.